It's one thing to read the answer to that question. Pretty simple task. Fairly simple sentence structure. Words that are used aren't too complicated in and of themselves, but the meaning is very profound and difficult for us to grasp. This morning, I want to ask you what has been one of the two most difficult things for you to kind of come to terms with in the Christian faith. What's been difficult for you to understand? Kind of blows your mind a little bit. Historically, we can easily look back because of historical records over the last couple thousand years, and we can look at what Christians have typically struggled with. Especially within the first two or three centuries of the Christian church, there were a number of things that, man, they just struggled with. Tried to define, tried to understand. One of them is the nature of the Trinity. How can we have one God, but yet recognize three distinct persons? Apparently, Jesus can talk to the Father, and yet they are one. It's difficult. The virgin birth is another one. How could you have a virgin become pregnant and have a child? And of course, that is difficult to understand how that could be. Maybe another one that comes to mind is how God can be sovereign over all things, and yet he does not bear the responsibility for the bad things that happen. It's a hard question. The incarnation, obviously, is the topic for this morning. How could Jesus be 100% human and also 100% God simultaneously? It is difficult for us to understand, and so we're going to take a little bit of time and talk about this topic, this issue, through the lens of looking at some of the verses that we find in John chapter 1. I think I struggled more than most weeks in figuring out what to leave out of this sermon. As you read through John 1, there's a reason why John was the last of the gospel writers. He had the time to look at all the other things that had been written about Jesus, and his gospel is just deep, just incredibly theologically, even philosophically deep. And here you have in his first chapter, there's just so much there. So if you're looking over these verses as I'm preaching, and you're thinking, oh man, he didn't talk about this. Yeah, I'm feeling the same thing. So I will be answering kind of three questions related to the incarnation. You ready? So here are the three. Number one, what is the incarnation? Number two, why the incarnation? And three, how do we respond to the incarnation? All right, got it. So number one, what is the incarnation? First, I wonder how many of our kids sitting here can even define that term. Incarnation. Sounds like a red Christmas flower, but it's not. It's not a carnation. It's incarnation. Like many of our English words, it comes from a Latin word or base, carnis, meaning flesh. So, literally means in flesh or in the flesh. Maybe we should look at a passage that we're actually going to be fleshing out a little bit. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh," Greek word sarx, "and dwelt among us." The Word became flesh, incarnated, and he dwelt among us. Maybe we should ask the question then, not what is incarnation, but who is the incarnation? And who does John identify? He says in this verse that it is the Word, that the Word becomes flesh. Most of us have spent years in Christian churches listening to messages like this one, and those terms can just kind of roll over us. But pause for a moment and think about what an interesting visual image that is. The Word becoming flesh. With that, please join me in John chapter 1 if you're not already there. I'm not going to be reading the whole thing. I'll be reading the first 5 verses in light of this, what we're just talking about, you know, talking about the Word, who that was, who that is, and some of the ways in which John contextualizes this. So the first 5 verses and then verse 10 and verse 14. Verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Verse 10. "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him." And then verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So from these verses, from John's vantage point, who is the incarnation? The first answer to this question is cleverly and profoundly put by John. He knew his audience, and he knew that they would understand the words that he was using and the way he was putting them. For example, if I said to you, "Finish this sentence," I bet you could do it. "Roses are red, violets are..." Right. "For God so loved the world." God is love. Jesus said, "Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with..." Yeah. Now, do you remember how the Bible begins? The very first words. You remember them? Do you think that his Jewish audience would have remembered the very first words of the Bible? That is a rhetorical question. In the beginning. In the beginning. And immediately you think, in the beginning, God created. What are the very first words that John used to start his book? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is the incarnation? The Word. Who is the Word? God. I'm sorry to say that that answer, as true it is, as it is not good enough. God knows that we need to know not just that it was God, but which member of the Trinity that was. It was the Word. The Word made incarnate. Who is that? The Creator God. The Creator God. John 1:3 says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Word is the Creator. You might think, wait a second. I thought that God, the Father, was the Creator. After all, Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yes, but how? How did he do that? Verse 3 of Genesis 1. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said. God spoke. He spoke. God gives us the image of the Father speaking the universe into existence. The image of God speaking is a visual picture of the Father sending the eternal Word to create. We also see the Spirit involved as well. So that's one of the main reasons why John calls him the Word. Names are significant, especially in the Bible, but even today, nicknames, sometimes we get nicknames based on our characteristics, things about us. I've seen kids, they run fast, people start calling them Flash. Think of redheads, like so Paul, call him Red. Hey, Red. There's a lot of different types of terms that we use for people, nicknames. Kids, if you've got your little outlines, there's something in there, on there, that relates to me and a nickname that I had growing up. But another reason is that the image of the Word creating is an image of communication. The image of the Word creating is an image of communication. Just think about that. The universe itself is a revelation, and the eternal Word is at the absolute epicenter of that story that the universe was made to tell and to reveal. The second person of the Trinity is called the Word because he is the member of the Trinity who reveals God. And this, like nothing else, sets his role apart from the Father and his role from the Spirit. While we're getting into some deep Trinitarian theology for a moment, here's something else to think about relating to the Incarnation. So, you remember the three offices of Christ? Think for a moment, dig deep. He was the prophet, priest, and king, right? I think that it can be helpful to think of these three also as being fulfilled by the different members of the